It's amazing how God thought of us when he was on the cross. The Bible says we were on his heart. There's no question about that. Our sin was, of course, laid upon him. And that's an amazing thought when you think about that. Well, we're very happy to have Missionary Jerome Pittman again sent out of our church. Remember years and years ago when Jerome came with his wife and young family and was needing to finish his Bible college training and got involved here in the church and the ministry and finished through HBI. And then after a time, sensed God's desire to, it was time to begin the deputation to get to the field of Ireland. And has been there for a good number of years now. And we've got a very, very solid church. When we think about Europe, sometimes it's very difficult in church planting. And specifically, we think about a Catholic nation like Ireland and how steeped in Catholicism and rituals and all those kind of things. But to go there and see a vibrant church and folks that are being called into the ministry and being trained for ministry, that's an exciting thing. And we are very proud of the work that's being done there. And specifically, we're proud of all of our missionaries that we support and doing a wonderful job. But when we think about them being sent out of the Cleveland Baptist Church and us having a part in their training, that's even a more special blessing. And so we're very grateful for that. But we're glad to have Brother Jerome with us tonight. And I knew that he had just a couple of opportunities. Of course, they've been in a few services, but I wanted to get him here for a service to preach to our church family. So Brother Jerome, you come ahead and open up the Word of God and share with us what God's laid upon your heart.
Well, if you're glad to be in church tonight, can you say amen? Amen? I sure am. I always love to come home to Cleveland Baptist Church, and I'm thankful that Pastor is pleased. I mean, really, think about it. Don't we all want to be approved of? Isn't that what the Bible says at the end of this life? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want. And I'd like to say it's always a privilege to speak here. It's always one of the highest honors in my life. To be able to stand here where decades and after decade after decade after decade, the Word of God was faithfully preached by so many men that have gone before us. I appreciate that so much and appreciate Pastor and all the work he does. And I hope that you'll take very seriously the when he opened up to us Sunday night, he said, pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Pray for Pastor. That convicted me. I haven't stopped praying from all week. He needs our prayers. We need to pray for our pastor. And I thank God that he asked us as a church to do that. And I thank God to be able to be a part of this church. One of the greatest days of my life was when Robert Mickey came up to me in Indiana and he says, when are you going to come and check out the Bible Institute at Cleveland? And he kind of did that, you know, that laugh he does. And he shook my hand and I said, all right, I'll do it. It was a great day when God allowed me the privilege to come here and become a member of this church. It's a privilege and a blessing. Let's never take it for granted. But I am a little concerned. I noticed there's these kind of liberal screens on the wall nowadays. What? I don't know. I'm getting kind of nervous. That's not the big one, though. Bridget and I went to Pastor's house Monday. And we had dinner. It was wonderful fellowship. And then I looked down. I noticed Pastor had on flip-flops. I mean, what's next? Brother Joel coming for Thursday night revival is coming up from Texas, you know. I don't know, I'm getting nerve flip-flops. I mean, come on. So we're driving, and I'm driving with the lawn girls in the car, and I said, yeah, we were at the house. I said, Pastor wore flip-flops. And Macy goes, Uncle Jerome, have you seen him wear his shorts? Man, I'm getting scared, Pastor. I don't know. This ain't fundamental, brother. I don't know. But I want to thank you for your friendship and your prayers and your faithfulness to our church family for 17 years. And thank you, Mrs. Folger, also for your faithfulness. I appreciate what you do now that Michelle has been in the ministry for so long. And I'm telling you, I promise you, you don't know. Talk to Mrs. Thompson. Talk to Mrs. Folger. This is not just pulpit statements. It is the most heaviest burden is the pastor's wife. And I get it now. I'd hear preachers say that when I was sitting right down there. But now I understand it is so, brethren. You pray for your pastor's wife. You continue to pray for her. Pray that God will bless her. And it was great to be over the house with the Folgers on Monday and pastor's playing football in his flip-flops with Mallory. And it was good to watch pastor enjoy his time with his family, speaking of football. Did anyone notice that this weekend was college football? Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's such a blessing. College football is such a great... Did anyone happen to notice the most important game of the weekend was played in Dublin? Sure, it was played in Dublin. Did you not know that Notre Dame was playing in Dublin? And they beat the fire out of the Navy. And where's all the amens? Where's all the Bible waving? Where's all the uncommon, unglued stuff? What's up? I don't understand that. And so, praise God that Notre Dame did beat the Navy in football. And to commemorate 17 years of faithful service and Notre Dame football, Bridget has a little something she would like to give to Mrs. Folger real quickly. Can you come and do that real quick for Mrs. Folger? I'd like you to give her that little gift, if you could do that. And while she's doing that, would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1? John chapter 1, and Bridget has a small gift, and everybody wants to see the gift that Bridget and I so delicately picked out for Mrs. Folger since Notre Dame won that wonderful game in football. So while we're turning to John chapter 1, we'll see what Bridget and I so prayerfully and carefully got in honor of that 17 years of faithfulness. Da, 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 da. It's a touchdown in Cleveland. Amen. Come on. Can one person say amen? Wow. Okay. I'm praying. Hey, I took it from Pastor Thompson year after year after year. All right. Open your Bibles to John chapter 1. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? All right. Thank you, Mrs. Folger, for your faithfulness. Appreciate you so much, and Pastor. All right, John chapter 1, let's read God's word. And God's word says in chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." May God truly bless the public reading of his word in his candlestick. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. We pray that now you'd help. Lord, I need to depend on you. I need to trust you. I need your strength. Lord, I cannot preach and help your church, your bride, if you'll not work through your word tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus over this place. We pray that we would help and serve this church tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Be with us now. For Jesus' sake, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to put the first verse, if you're going to take notes, the title of the sermon tonight is "It's All About Him." I'd like to put that first verse, it's found in Revelation, and before I read my introduction, I'd like to go over that verse. Would you fill in with me out loud the bold three-letter words as I read the rest of the verse? It says on the Bible, it says in God's Word, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and they are and were created." I wanted to emphasize those three words right there. It says, "for thy pleasure." The reason I believe that God laid this sermon on my heart, or it started to nudge me this way, was a tweet that Pastor had sent out just a little while ago on his Twitter account. Brother Chapel in California said the first time he heard of Twitter, he said, "What is Twitter?" He says, "It sounds like a gay men's glee club or something. I never heard of that thing." That's what he said. I didn't say it. And so I heard him say it, though. And he said, but Twitter's a neat little thing. You put on little sound bites and statements and Bible verses and sermons and things like that. But Pastor put this one in his Twitter, and I was reading it, and it said this. It says, "If you are speaking about and promoting self, as a preacher. You are full of pride and arrogance. Lift up Jesus and preach the word, exclamation point. And I started thinking, who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, Pittman, don't worry about it. What about you? What about you? Are you doing that which was in that tweet? And I said, Lord, I hope not. And so I believe that God used that to nudge me this way tonight to preach about him. I just want to preach about him tonight. I want to talk about him tonight. Sometimes we need to be told what's right. Sometimes we need to be told as a family what's wrong. Sometimes we need to be told we're doing wrong and we need to turn and go this way. We need reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. But tonight, I just want to talk about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to us. I want to make sure that I'm uplifting him and preaching his word, because truly tonight and every night, it should always and forever be always about him. This life is supposed to be lived for the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason we exist, is for thy pleasure. We're here to make him happy. We are to put a small smirk and a small smile on the glorious King of the universe. That's the only reason the universe exists. That's the only reason I was born. That's the only reason you were born, is to please the Lord and to bring him pleasure with our lives. But my question tonight to you as a brother and sister in Christ, as a fellow church member, are you living this life and are you living it for him? Do you bring pleasure to him? In the beginning of the new year last year, I said to the people at Lighthouse in Ireland, I challenged every one of them to read through their whole Bible if they'd never done that before. Some folks had never done that. I said, well, would you try reading through the New Testament and start to learn about God and just set a goal, feed your soul on the Word of God, I said. And I said, if some of you are not ready for that, would you just read the Gospel of John? Would you read 21 chapters, one chapter a day, 3 weeks, you'll read through the whole Gospel of John. You see, if you read about in the Gospel of John, you will learn a lot about him. And you will learn what he wants and what he's like and what he likes and what he dislikes. You can learn a lot about him. Now, if you read the book of Romans, you'll learn a lot about you. And you'll learn about me. For all have sinned. For there is none righteous, no, not one. That the Gentiles are lost. The Jews are lost. We are all together lost. But if you read the Gospel of John, you'll learn a lot about him. Now, my points aren't as articulated or as alliterated maybe as I'd like them to be, but I think if I just keep them simple and I keep them moving, maybe you'll remember them. The first point, if you're going to take notes, is tonight, the Word is God. Simple as that. The Word is God. Let's read verses 1 through 3 one more time quickly, as God's Word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I have had the blessing and the privilege of doing a lot of discipleship work one-on-one with Catholic people in Ireland. And you have to go really slow. It's not a mental problem. It's a spiritual blindness and a blockage. And you have to explain verses, because they have a tendency to spiritualize and allegoricalize everything away. So when the Bible says something, always take it literally unless you can't. The Bible says, so I sit down over a cup of tea and I said, so in the beginning was the Word. So you have the Word in the beginning. And I said, and I'll say this to intelligent people with college degrees sometimes, what does it mean when it says the beginning? And they'll say, at the beginning of my life? At the beginning of, I don't know. Well, then you have to take them. This is how I do the Bible study. Can we put on Genesis 1:1? Then I flip them back to the first verse in the Bible. And I said, now let's read that together. Can you read those two words out loud that are underlined and highlighted when we get there? Ready? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So now you have, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. But the Bible goes on to say, and the Word was God. So these two people were together at the beginning of creation. You say, we know that. This is Wednesday night. I know that. I know that you know that. But maybe somebody will learn a little bit of something, how to explain this to somebody that has no clue. You see, it's all of our job to make sure that we're teaching somebody. Who are you training? Whose life are you touching? Who are you discipling? Right now, it just comes to my mind. I'm sitting here, as I was sitting here watching Caleb sing, I'm thinking that's the way it's supposed to go. Dad's been here for decades, teaching in the school, teaching in the institute, and the son's here, and I presume the grandchildren are here. That's the way it's supposed to go on, continuation and continuation. It takes time to teach people the Word of God. And so I sit down with them and I teach them that the Word was God. And so they don't know these things. They don't even realize that Jesus Christ is the great creator of the universe. That the Word not only is God, but He created all things. He created the stars. He created the moon. He created the heavens. He created the subatomic particles. He has every hair of your head numbered. He is the glorious King that reigns upon the universe. And everything is all about Him. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is very small. And so you have to teach people that Jesus is the great creator. And the Word was God. The Bible goes on and also teaches us in John chapter 14. You don't have to turn to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Word is the life. It's not just only physical life, the creator of life. But it's eternal life. It's spiritual life. He is the giver of life. Every breath you and I take is because of Him. Do you follow where I'm trying to get you to see? Sometimes you and I as believers take it for granted the great gift that we have from God of life. Who's to say that we'll see it tomorrow? Who's to say that we'll walk out these doors? Life is a gift from God, and it was created by Him and for Him. But not only did the Word give us life, but the Word gives us love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Word gives us life. He allows us to breathe and think and move and have our being. But then He also gives us love. It's one thing to give life. I've seen, and you and I know folks that have had people and children, and they've abandoned them sometimes. And maybe even some of you have been abandoned as children. I don't know. But you know what? Even if your parents abandon you, God still loves you. God still cares for you. And the fact that you're here, God loves you and He wants pleasure from your life. But not only that, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Let's keep reading in verse number 4, in Him. So number one is, the Word was God. But look at verse 4, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I was teaching Joel when we were doing schoolwork. He was teaching me. That's a wrong statement. He was teaching me. He was doing algebra. Now, I took algebra when I was in high school. That was over 30-something years ago. I took algebra 3 times, and I passed it the 3rd time. I'm telling you, I took it twice in school, once in summer school. I passed summer school. But anyway, the point is he was showing me this problem and had this number out here and a plus and a time sign and these little variables with the letters and then parentheses and all these digits. And he's trying to explain to me the formula and the sequence of events that would happen to come to the conclusion to solve the mathematical problem. And I didn't comprehend it. I did not comprehend what he was trying to say. What does it mean to comprehend? Comprehension means to literally to take in, to absorb, to take with, or to take together. But no matter how much my son tried to explain it to me, I could not take it in. So too is it with the light of Jesus Christ to a lost, dark, and dying world. Look at what the Bible says in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They can't understand Him. They don't understand what He is all about. Because they are darkness, and yet the light will divide the darkness, and the light will cut through the darkness. And the light needs to shine in this community. Folks, these are strange days. These are very heavy and dark, dark, dark times. It's weird. I watched the Republican convention. I watched the Democratic convention. And I watch all these people telling these stories and telling how everybody's going to fix things. None of them can fix anything. The only one that's going to fix anything is Jesus Christ, because it's all about Him. He's the only one that can fix the problems, right the wrongs, solve the unknown, and take care of us and watch over us. It's all about Jesus Christ because he is watching right now. I mean, really, I think maybe I would be a little bit more earnest and sincere if I understood that the portals of heaven are open and he is watching. And by the way, what happens in this room every week is far more important than what happened in Tampa and what happened in Charlotte. Can I get an amen right there? Doesn't matter if it's me, of course not. It's whoever's preaching right here. The word of God is going forth to God's people to edify and build the saints, because everything and anything in this life is supposed to be for him, and it was for his pleasure. The word was God, but number two, the word had a witness. Look with me. Look with me at verse number six. And the Bible says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The word was God, but the word had a witness. I know that this is a Baptist church, amen? This is a Baptist church, amen? Amen? We believe the book, we believe the blood, we believe the body, amen? And so, you know, I praise God for salvation. I praise God for everybody that gets saved. I praise God for every person that gets saved that doesn't get saved in a Baptist church. Amen, they're not going to die and go to hell. Now I'm going to take it a little step further here. Now, I'm King James all the way. But I tell you what, I praise God for anyone who gets snatched from the fires of hell through any other version of the Bible if they truly get saved. Amen? I don't believe in a universal church, but I sure do believe in a whosoever will universal salvation. Whosoever will put you in Christ. And so the word had a witness. And the word sent a man whose name was John, a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, when you're dealing with Catholic folks, you have to explain to them, this isn't John the apostle that wrote the book we're studying. This is another guy, Jesus' cousin, called John the Baptist. All right. They says, sure, I'll be getting it. And so we were studying the Bible, and we're going through it, and you explain to him who John was and what his job was. And his job was to witness to the others about the light of Christ, to reflect the light of Jesus in a very dark and religious country called Israel. Think about the moon. It shines up in the sky. It's beautiful. It's blue sometimes. Sometimes it's red. But we always look up, you know, ladies and young men, they look up at the moon and they think, oh, how romantic. It's a full moon tonight. Oh, it's so beautiful, and all the strange happenings that go on during a full moon, and things, you know, just people fall in love and they give their girlfriend roses and all these kind of things. But you know what? Nobody ever goes out and says, oh, look, it's a dark night. There's no moon outside. How romantic. Just darkness. You see, the moon's up there, but if you're on the moon, you understand that the moon is dead. It's dry. It's dust. It's darkness. The only reason that you and I and you and your sweetheart can look up at the beautiful moon and think about romance is because the moon is reflecting the light from the sun. Do you see? That's what makes it beautiful. It's not the moon itself. It's the light from the sun. Now, let me reread that verse I was reading there to you again. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. The word had a witness. His name was John the Baptist. He came to preach unto the people, but he was not the light. His job was to do one thing, was to reflect the light of the S-O-N in the darkness. Do you see what I'm trying to project? Application for your life. Application for my life. Hey, John the Baptist, Cleveland the Baptist Church, it is our job to reflect the light of the S-O-N to the glory of God, because they're dying and they have no hope and they're lost in trespass and sins. And somebody reflected the light in your life, and somebody reflected the light in my life so that we could be saved. Thank God for those faithful witness witnesses in our life. There was a guy named Joel Botello that sat me down on the second row after church on a Sunday night and opened a Bible, showed me how to be saved. He said, would you like to get saved? I said, mister, I've done everything. I've been at the bottom of the barrel. I got to get saved. I know I'm going to hell. He said, take my hand, let's pray. And I prayed with all my heart. And as an 18-year-old dope addict and drunk and no good, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm telling you, I have never been the same since. I praise God. I don't ever want to get over my salvation. I don't ever want it to ever get old. I don't ever want to be unthankful for what God has done for me, because it's all about Him. He's the King. He's the reason. He's the one. And I thank God for Him, and we must never lose our great focus as individuals. And I thank God for all the young people that are coming up in this church. And I thank God for all the faithful training and discipling that is going on in their lives, and that we have those who are coming up. But we have to keep reaching out to the lost and the dying world, because it is all about Him. We were dark and dead in trespasses and sins, but we need to reflect the light of the Son of God to a lost and a dying world. That was John the Baptist's job. I love doing this when I witness to folks at their table and I'm discipling them. I say, now what does the Bible say his name was? John the Presbyterian. They say, no. John the Roman Catholic priest. No. John the dead Calvinistic covenant theologian. No. John the Baptist. Their eyes always get this big when they see that thing. There's just something that clicks with that. And it speaks to their souls. And I say, now, who baptized Jesus? Who baptized Jesus? John the Baptist. So if you get baptized by a priest, you're a Catholic. If you get baptized by a Methodist, you're a Methodist. If you get baptized by a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit kind of guy, you're a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit kind of guy. But if you get baptized by a Baptist, I guess that makes you a Baptist. Amen. And so God... teaching these folks these simple truths changes their life, but you've got to keep reflecting Jesus Christ to them. John was the light. He was to witness of the light. And I'd like to put another verse on the wall, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Look at the wall with me, if you would, please. Ye, that's a plural pronoun. That's all inclusive of us. Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. If we don't tell them, who will? If we don't share the gospel, who will? If we don't tell them that there is a burning, kicking, screaming, fiery, flaming hell, who will do it? I know who won't do it. Some of them folks that just get on TV and just say, God loves you, God loves me, we're a big happy family, send in your check money, or we take PayPal now down here. You know, they won't do that. They won't tell them that they're really on their way to hell. Somebody's got to be a witness for Him and reflect the light of Him to a lost and dying world, because it's all about Him. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We must be a burning and a shining light, because it is all about Him. Not only did the Word have a witness, but the Word has a will. The Word has a will. Let's keep reading on as it says. Let's pick it up in verse number 9. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word has a will. Now, what do I mean by a will? By will, I mean a plan. A plan. God had a plan. Look at verse number 11. He came unto His own. God had a plan A. God had a plan A. He was coming to His own people. The reason that one of the Irishmen named Bartle, he asked me, he said, Pastor, why Israel? Why the Jewish people? Why did God choose them? And I said, it's not how good they are. It's not how smart they are. It's not because God loved them necessarily more than He loved anyone else. It's because God had a friend thousands of years ago, one man named Abraham who was the friend of God. And God made a promise to one man. And because he made a promise to one man thousands of years ago, God promised to send the Messiah and the deliverer to those people. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But thank God for the conjunctions in the Bible. Thank God for the word but in the Bible. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Thank God for the gift of salvation. Thank God for the ability to become the sons of God. Do you know what we can see when we see the word to become? Future tense. In other words, you and I know that a lot of people think just because they're born in this country and the money says in God we trust, they think they're a Christian. Friend, they're no more a Christian than him papa over in Rome. Amen? They're not. Ye must be born again. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe on his name and embrace him and ask him to save your soul. His own people rejected him. And he sent his 12 to the lost tribe of the lost tribes of the house of Israel. But then after the resurrection, he didn't say just go to Israel. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And God says we're to preach the gospel after the resurrection to everyone. And but as many as received him, the word has a will. And that plan, thank God for that little word, that little conjunction, but in the Bible, as many as received him. A lot of people sit in a good church. A lot of people grow up in good churches. Sometimes even good people growing up in good church don't really get saved. Can you think of a greater pastor than the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you think of a better Bible training than to live and with him for 3.5 years? And yet that man, Judas, sat with Jesus, walked with Jesus, prayed with Jesus, preached with Jesus, served at his feet with Jesus, and yet he died and went to hell under the greatest pastor in all of time and history. Let's make sure that we have trusted Christ as our Savior. Let's make sure that we know that we're saved. You see, the Word has a will, and it is God's will that we all be saved. Let's look at verse number 13, what the Bible says. Which were born not of blood, so you can't inherit your salvation, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't work for it, earn it, push, pray, plan, or plot to get it, nor of the will of man. It's not something you hold your breath and just say, I want to be saved, I want to be saved. It's not the will of man, but of God. It's all about him. Salvation is about him. Creation is about him. Everything is about him, and it's all about him. That's the reason that we preach. That's the reason that this universe exists. That's the reason that we go, because it's all about him. You can't work your way up into it. You can't force it to come. You must call upon Christ and receive him. That's his will for every man. It's a whosoever plan that God gave to all of us. He has a will for your life, and the first step is to be born again. To trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. To know that you 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 know that when you leave this world, you'll be in heaven with him forever, because it's all about him. He wants you not only to be born again, but he wants you to be a witness. He wants you to tell others. He wants you to share what he's done for you, to show what he has created, that it didn't just evolve and it didn't just happen. And we didn't just come from a monkey. And the monkey didn't just come from the amoeba. And the amoeba didn't just come from the primordial mess and the soup and the rocks and the dust. And it all didn't come from that tiny little dot that exploded and went this way and that way. Somebody intelligently, divinely created this entire universe for his pleasure. That's why we do what we do. We're here to serve him. He wants us, friends, to be born again. He wants us, friends, to be a faithful witness. He wants us, friends, to be salt and light into a lost and dying world. But sometimes even the very best Christians, the best Christians in the whole world, sometimes even they kind of get into a just kind of a mechanical mode and kind of get into a rut. And even pastors do it sometimes. Even missionaries do it. Everybody does it. We get in a rut and we stop fulfilling the will of God for our life. and we just kind of go through the motions, and it's not real to us. But sometimes what we need to do is just stop and grab a hold of the concept of who he is, why we're here, and begin to refresh that relationship with him. It's all about him and getting a hold of his heart so that we can make a difference once again. And so I just wanted to just say to you finally tonight, I'd like to put that last verse back up on Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you put a smile on his face? Examine your own selves, brothers and sisters. I can only speak for myself. Do you put a smile on the Lord's face for thy pleasure?